This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Coming up next, conversations on human rights with Speak Up, Korerotia, here on Plains FM.
E nā mana, e nā reo, e nā hō e whā. Tēnā koutou katoa. No mai ki tēne hōtaka. Speak Up, Korerotia. Tune in as our guests Speak Up, sharing their unique and powerful experiences and opinions. And may you also be inspired to speak up when the moment's right. Kia ora, you're listening to Speak Up Korerotia. I'm your host, Sally Carlton, and I'm really excited about today's topic, which I've kind of tentatively named Danceability, talking about dance and mobility and accessibility and disability and how all these things intersect. We've got a really cool panel of guests lined up. Jo, perhaps we'll start with you. If you could introduce yourself and maybe talk a bit about Star Jam, where you're from.
Absolutely. So I'm Jo, and I am the Regional Programs Coordinator for Star Jam in Christchurch. Star Jam's not just in Christchurch, though. We're throughout New Zealand, and we were founded in 2002 with the purpose of empowering young people with disabilities through music and performance. So in Christchurch, we opened in 2012, and since then, we've opened 10 workshops. As of this year, we've opened our 10th, and we have just over 100 young people who we call jammers. They are aged between 6 and 25 and live with any disability. So it's a very diverse group, and people are welcome to join us if they identify as wanting to be a part of Star Jam, basically. And as part of those music and performance workshops, four of them in Christchurch are dance ones, and they're led by specific dance tutors who spend an hour and a half every week with their group of 12 young people, encouraging them and facilitating their dance workshop.
Very cool.
Kia ora. Yeah, I'm Lynn Cotton. I'm the CES founder and artistic director, so that sounds good, of Jolt Dance Company. So we've been going since 2001, started really small with just one little class, basically, and then have grown since then. So we've now got 10 classes for all ages, from 5 up to 75, and then we also run a lot of education and training workshops as well. So we've got a program for some of our dancers to train as dance teachers, and we go and work out in the community a lot, and we also do teacher training as well. So yeah, I suppose our vision is really about creating equal opportunities for people perceived to have a disability, so that they can find full expression of their own creative voices through the arts, and then also really through that to really strongly advocate and to challenge perspectives about disability, which I think is a really big issue for all of the disability community. You know, that we need to really break down those perspectives and challenge some of those glass ceilings that exist.
And finally, we've got Rodney on the phone. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, tēnā koutou katoa. No tai nui te waka, no Ngāti Maungapoto te iwi, no Ngāti Rōra te hapū, ko Rodney Bell taku ingoa. Tēnā koutou katoa. My name's Rodney Bell, and I'm a dancer of difference, and I acquired a disability back in 1991, and I have paraplegia now, and I'm a founding member for Touch Compass Dance Company, and I sort of freelance around the place now, and I feel that I've had a vast and diverse lived experience, and I accept and respect differences like gender, ethnicity, language, and different beliefs in the arts, and felt the difference of my diverse disability and multiculture strongly understood through dance, and yeah, I'm looking forward to conversating with you all.
This is a slightly different topic that I've dealt with before, and I thought it might just be nice to kind of start off, what is it that inspires you to do what you do? Because I think it's one of those kind of warm fuzzy type things to get us going.
I think the thing that really inspires me about Star Jam is the young people themselves, because they provide so much joy into my week. So really it's a bit of a self-indulgent thing, I think, my commitment and involvement with Star Jam. But Star Jam itself, I think, exists to show are young people who might have heard from school or other places that they can't sing or they can't dance, that they actually can, and that their contribution is incredibly valuable. And everyone's talents look and sound different to each other, but they're still talents, and they're still, absolutely worth celebrating. And as Lynn touched on before, I think it's a huge part of our work is performing, doing as many performances as possible at community events or in shopping centres or our own concerts, with the idea being that it puts our jammers on the stage and it gives them the chance to give back to their community. So they're not always in a position of being helped, but rather they're in a position of helping others spread joy and being awesome. And it also really can educate people, I think. Performance and art and music is such a powerful medium for inspiring people and changing perceptions and beliefs that they didn't even realise they held. Yeah.
I'm a unique position because dance found me. So I was introduced to dance by Catherine Chappelle, the artistic director of Touch Compass Dance Trust. Yeah, so she pretty much inspired me to, like, encourage me. She could see dance in me that I couldn't see at that time, and that's what sort of activates me to help others as well. So, yeah, and then through my Māori experience as well, when I'm doing performances or trying to support or presentations or workshops, I always draw on my rangatira, my elders. My grandparents, you know, who brought me up and showed me, you know, what it is to be alive and what it is to give, because I've come from big families as well. Like, my nan on my mum's side has 16 children, and on my dad's side has 20. So I've been brought up around big families and lots of giving and not much taking. So that inspires me to encourage, you know, and always create and reactivate that energy to help others and inspire them through dance.
Rodney, you said that dance found you and somebody kind of saw dance in you. Do you guys see that in others?
Yeah, always. Yeah, always. I think that's why we're activators. You know, we just create environments for people to come in and give them directions or support them in ways that they can express, because dance is just a lot about expressing, eh? And I think... like, consciously, they come and participate in classes, and obviously they bring a lived experience in. So just giving them the tools to activate those lived experiences and then adding layers of music and also introducing props and stuff like that, so to bring those alive. And I say that, for example, when I first started dancing, right, my way in, and I never taught anybody, but I was making toast. So I was doing the movements, making toast, and then I extremitized them. And then, yeah, and then the toast pretty much grew from there, I should say.
I think there's a real perception too that only certain bodies or only certain movement is dance. And one part of our work that I just absolutely love is working with people who are perceived to have more significant needs or higher needs. And we've always said in JOLT that the only prerequisite to joining JOLT is a passion to dance, because, as you said, Sally, can you see that in people? When we meet people, you can see that passion. We have a lot of our dancers who have minimal movement, maybe a slight turn of the head, a look in the eye, a slight move in the finger, but you can sense the energy, you can feel that breath, you can feel that life with the music. And you may have somebody else who is perfectly mobile, but doesn't have that same passion. I really believe that dancers are born, and there's an innate connection to music and movement. And, you know, our vision really is about that everybody should have the right to access that and to explore that as fully as possible. And for me, it's a wonderful sense of discovery. How can you communicate and engage with a person who maybe is perceived to have profound autism? How do you get alongside and how do you enter their world and then together reach out and allow them to explore that?
The dance isn't just what the audience sees, it's so much what the performer themselves is feeling and doing during the performance. I think everyone can dance. I used to, you know, I'm a firm believer in that, and I used to think that I couldn't dance, and I wouldn't be the person at a party that would go on the dance floor at all. But I think from my work with Star Jam, and I've had a little bit to do with Jolt as well, you don't have to be someone who's necessarily perceived as having a disability to benefit from increasing confidence and, getting yourself involved in dance.
I play toko, and I feel like through mixed ability arts, we're always challenging that ecocentric sort of mentality and that Western mentality of what dance is.
Mm.
And I feel like a lot of that is around language too, you know, like just using the language that it's universal, especially when you're in a class of lots of participants of difference. I tell you, talking you too, Lynn, about talking about like people you might think that are not understanding what you're saying, but they actually are, and just having that trust, having the trust that they are, and not trying to do anything out of their comfort zone, but just trusting that as long as you are prepared as a teacher, as long as you're prepared and you do what you do well and you make it inclusive, I think,
For me, it's about respect, and it's also about expectation, because I think we should always be asking ourselves what is possible. And you know, sometimes that whole thing of discovery for me is really what drives me. I find that so exciting to have that underneath everything we do is there is always the assumption that more is possible, that we can always push further, that this person, we will find a way to communicate. Like my job as the teacher is to adapt, is to watch, is to look, and is to frame and shape things in as many different ways I can in order for that person to fully express themselves.
And show people their talents, point out to them when they do something amazing. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, you've got to have a pocket of knowledge, because you've got to adapt to these classes. You can't stick to your plan and it's not working.
Mm.
You've got to be really reactive to how the energy is in the room, and that's the main quality of us being strong and powerless to participants of difference.
Definitely.
You talked about difference in a group. I noticed that Touch Compass calls itself a physically integrated dance company. I just thought maybe we should talk about what is that physically integrated dance, and how long has it been around in New Zealand, or is it a relatively new concept?
It's got titled here, obviously, back in the 90s, after Catherine had been overseas and attended a workshop with Lisa Alessi over in the Turtle Island or the USA. And she came back, and I think that's just the term that's pretty much being used internationally, you know, physically integrated. What does that mean, eh? And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, we all have different lived experience and we all could give a different name to it. So I think that name sort of unifies a lot of different things. And you talk about physically integrated, it's just about we all have a skeletal structure, and it's just about us moving together, really, isn't it? What do you think, Lynn?
I think they keep changing the terminology too, which I find a little bit hard to keep up with. When I first fell by accident into this work in London, it was special needs, and then it became mixed ability, and then they talked about integrated dance, and like I really struggle with it, because language matters and word matters and articulating our vision really, really matters. But so now we've shifted, and I don't know if it's exactly right, we've shifted to sort of talking more about inclusive arts, because somebody, a good friend who's really involved in the disability community said, integrated is when we take people and we integrate them into the mainstream, whereas inclusive is when we're listening to lots of different voices. But I do struggle with the terminology. I don't know how you feel, Jo, but sometimes it's a little bit tricky to learn which words are the...
Yeah, and even the word disability itself, it's very shaming, isn't it? Like, it's taking away abilities, which is not the case. Like, it goes against what we're trying to do. We hear about different abilities quite a bit as well.
And diversity is often used, isn't it?
But then I have a lot of friends that have disabilities and they own that word because it's their own world, you know, it's sort of their own culture.
Well, what they said in London when we were there a couple of years ago is that the disability community had chosen to take that word because they were disabled. They were disabled by society's norms, not by their physical or intellectual capabilities.
And I, there's a Māori term, whaikaha, that's just been sort of introduced into terminology around Māori whānau with disabilities, and I quite like it. I like that this idea of using different languages as well, have a different way in, obviously a different mindset. Basically means people of strength, and that's quite a universal word, eh? And
that's awesome. I hadn't heard that before.
Actually, whenever we do a disability-related show, it comes up again and again. Look for people's strengths. Look for what might not immediately be obvious, but everyone's got them. Look for them. And we might have our first break. And Rodney, you've chosen Eden Mulholland's Streets on San Francisco. Was there a particular reason you wanted this one?
Yes, I experienced homelessness in San Francisco when I was over there dancing on the international stage for 3 years. I was homeless there, and I recently developed an autobiographical work called Medi Medi, and this is one of the title songs to it. So thanks, Sally, for wanting to play it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for expanding our horizons.
Have a heart attack or something just to get yourself a bed for the night. You can lay your frozen hands on a light bulb or something just to try to warm them up. On the streets of San Francisco, in a place so far from streets are all the stories I know, and it hits so close to home. Oh, 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 you could treat yourself to another facelift or something, or treat yourself to third-degree burns. You could just try to make sense of the senseless or something, or be just like a feather in my shoe. Oh, oh, oh. On the streets of San Francisco, in a place so far from my home. On the streets are all the stories I know, and they cut me down to the bone. On the streets of San Francisco, in a place so far from my home. On the streets of San Francisco, in a place so far from my home. On the streets are all the stories I know, and it hits so close to home.
Ki te whakaranga koutou ki te hōtaka, Speak Up Kōrerotia. You're listening to Speak Up Kōrerotia, and we're talking danceability with Joe Casey, Lynn Cotton and Rodney Bell. I thought we might have a discussion in this segment about what are the benefits of dance, and they are multiple, regardless of what your body is like. But just to start off maybe with the physical benefits and move into some of the others.
Because obviously I acquired a body of difference and had this new vessel back in 1991. Limited from the chest down, arms not really moving very well. And then they push you towards sports or finding different ways of moving when you go through a spinal rehabilitation process. So I found basketball, and then when dance found me, it was kind of the thing I loved about it is that it united the mind and the body. So there was more awareness of how I moved because I was thinking about it more. It wasn't just coming from an aggressive place or a competitive place. And then over time, I found that I've remained limber. You know, you consciously have to look after yourself to be able to perform. This is just my experience. And then the reciprocity that you get from performing, because obviously performing has an audience. So that reciprocity of energy that occurs there just is very empowering. And I've noticed over time as well, and I'm not trying to say that people live unhealthy lifestyles, but I noticed that around my generation gap, because I'm in my late 40s now, that I seem quite healthy, you know, in comparison.
My background is drama and teaching, actually, but dance and movement make real sense to me in this community, because it is an equalizer. You don't have to rely on being verbal. You don't have to rely on articulating things with words, that you can really express yourself in a way that is much freer and more open through movement. And I find that music is a real language that I can use. Music, I can take away the words from my teaching by using music, because it just naturally encourages and allows expression. It's a language of its own.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the music being a language of its own, and you can't really have dance without some form of music most of the time. I think the music element of it really regulates our jammers, and can often go the other way as well. We can have music that's far too hyped up, and we really see the results of that. And I think what Rodney touched on before that is so important about dance is that it is connecting the mind and the body, and it's not a competitive thing. I mean, there are dance competitions, but the kind of dance we're doing, it's not about competition, it's about communication and connection. And I think that's, what dance has over other forms of movement like sports.
The platform of dance, it can bring all types of body together. And like Joe said, there's no competition involved. So all types of body can be moving in the space. So there's a lot of equity going on as well, which is, it's quite beautiful. Quite beautiful.
I'd like to pick up on what you guys were talking about the different bodies. And does it make a difference to your jammers or the different people in the dance companies if they're dancing alongside other people with disabilities or people who are non-disabled as well? Do you think it makes a difference to how the dancers themselves feel, react, respond?
In terms of Jolt, we do have quite a bit of diversity, and one of the things I love about that is, as Rodney just said before, it's this platform where people can all come together. So I don't think anybody notices a difference, as long as there's really inclusive, strong teaching happening to support difference within your class. So if somebody's physically not able to stretch out an arm, that there's the person is able to go to them. So you've done all the adaptation that you need to do. And it just brings up this beautiful energy. In our move tutor training scheme, we do a community class. And in that class, our youngest is 6 and our oldest person would be in their 50s. We have people who are wheelchair users. We have people who are living with autism. We have a huge range of people. We have all of the support workers as well. So we have about 30 to 40 people in the class.
Wow.
And everybody dances together, because the dancing together to me comes back to that whole thing of respect and expectation. If we create an environment where some people are caring or helping others, then we're missing that respect, and we're also missing all those opportunities to be impacted by and engage with people on a really meaningful level.
Relationship building too, because, you know, because I dance in my wheelchair, so, you know, the relationship to my wheelchair was mobility at the start, you know, getting me from A to B and back, and then you find all these different ways of negotiating with your prop, you know, or whatever you use for mobility device, and then you put someone else in the picture, have it be a non-disabled or disabled person, and you have this amazing collision or relationship that's going on that it has a world of its own, because not like with this prop or with my wheelchair, these places where people can stand, and so you can spend all day exploring, you know, and finding different ways of moving and different ways of relating.
Yeah, I have always believed that what are sometimes perceived as limitations are actually opportunities for really unique movement and really unique connections between people.
Ronnie, this might be a bit of a personal question, but I noticed you mentioned that your wheelchair used to get you from A to B. And I imagine that as a dancer who uses his wheelchair, perhaps the dance has made you see your wheelchair differently?
Yes, but most definitely, because like maintenance is a big thing, you know, for it to perform well, I have to look after it. And I suppose that comes from being paralyzed from the chest down as well. You can easily ignore your body because it's obviously not moving and stuff like that. So there's this departure straight away. And then over time, you've got to find, you know, different ways of bathing. It goes down to the basic, different ways of bathing, different diets, different, like, bathing, you know, different ways of washing and like, access and all that sort of stuff. So with the chair, because I'm always in partnership, obviously everybody can see me, but I'm actually, doing my best to sort of stay connected in that space and time with my chair, because we need each other, basically,
I think that's a really positive way of seeing it.
Yeah, but I noticed when you watch other people like negotiating space in their different vessels as well, you see this light come on in them, because they're being acknowledged on their own for their difference, and yet they're finding different ways of moving through different tasks that you give them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite beautiful watching it over time, you know, like having a class and then 5 years later watching the way they move around, even in outside of the dance space, totally different.
Mm-hmm. And a major thing for our classes that we always try and include in every workshop is choreography or movement that comes from the young people themselves, that is theirs, that they own. That is when you see their faces light up, especially when they contribute something in a movement and everyone else can do it with them and they see the acknowledgement of that movement and other people, doing it as well. And I think you do a lot of that in your work as well, don't you?
Yeah, the vast majority of our work in JOLT is based around the movement of the people. So we train in that we build body awareness, we build musicality, connections between people, but we also do a lot of improvisation. We do what we call open space, which is basically where we go in, where we get to a point in the class where we just see what happens. So we might play a piece of music, we might put a prop or a stimuli down on the ground, and we just see what happens. And then because our tutors have become really skilled at waiting, at watching, and then at dancing with, alongside the person, something grows and something builds. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you plan, but like you said earlier, Rodney, you go in and then something happens and you see something in a class and somebody does something and you just go, right, let's go down that path and see where it takes us.
This is a really beautiful discussion, guys. We might break for our next song, which is This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. Joe, you chose that because it's Star Jam's song for the year?
Yeah, it's our big end-of-year concert group song. The Christchurch one is Saturday the 17th of November at Hayata Community Campus at 6:30 p.m.
Oh, gonna send a bird, gonna drown a man. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be, this is me.
Look out, you see here I come.
Speak Up Court Editor on Plains FM 96.9. We've just been talking about some of the benefits that dance can provide, and I'd like to expand a little bit and think about some of the benefits of performance. We have touched on this, that idea of being up on stage. I think, Joe, you mentioned that. But I imagine that in terms of confidence building particularly, performing in front of people must be very, very powerful.
We have something called Spot the Talent that we do in every workshop, which gives our jammers the chance to perform for their peers. And it's everyone's favourite part. And obviously our new jammers join, and some of them were born to perform, and they're totally comfortable with it straight away. And for others, it can take years of being in workshops before they're ready to take that step. And I think it is that workshops and our other bigger, you know, outside performances where we do, it's easy for us to see the most growth. I think it's such a big thing. And I think working with our young people, we often forget how big a deal it is until one of them, you know, will drag you into doing the performance with them, and then you realise, oh, this is actually quite nerve-wracking. And for them, doing it in front of their peers, people the same age as them, I think is even bigger. Yeah,
I think there's a real discipline around performances that builds the skills of dancers in quite a dramatic way. Like the whole thing of being on a professional stage, you know, working with professional technicians, the focus that you need in performance, the discipline of rehearsals, that you repeat things time and time again until you get them, you know, to where they need to be, you know, the backstage etiquette. Everything around it is a really good learning opportunity. And it's also, again, that whole thing of that shouldn't be denied to our dancers either, that whole ability to work at the top level and to challenge yourself, and in that performance context, it's really important.
I love what you said about backstage, because that's what it's about too. It's about bringing that universal access to different centres that we perform in. And that explodes out into for the blind and the deaf community as well. Mm. And I feel as a performer as well, and I get a lot of feedback around, like, people just wanting to say that the dance is beautiful, but it's quite obvious that the dancers are different. So the props or the mobility devices get brought into the conversation straight away. So I feel they come with a bare lived experience, and it's emotionally driven, because you're seeing someone, you know, that they might not have seen, that has a disability, that's really empowered on stage, and they're really quite present. So yeah, and then, you know, as the dance goes on, it becomes very professional for them. And then you get the feedback of, wow, I couldn't even see your wheelchair, or wow, you're doing great. It's nice to see you out and about doing these sorts of things.
Mm. I mean, the arts reflect, you know, the soul of a nation in so many ways, don't they? And if those arts are only showing the voices of certain kinds of people, then we're not really reflecting who we are truly as a nation. And so, like you say, about role models, about seeing different bodies and different movements, different people on stage is really, really important for that.
Yeah, and I feel we're mind shifters too, because we bring in that strong awareness. So the people that go away from the dance see things differently, and it might ripple out into the way that they see disability or you know, in their family, or out on the street and that. So it's, you know, there's all these positive things that are going on outside the dance as well, which we must always remember, you know.
Joe, you mentioned that time when the dancers can create their own rhythm, I suppose. Mm. And Rodney, I know you choreograph some of your own pieces. I suppose it's a really, maybe even quite a unique opportunity for some of these people to express themselves. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Definitely. Yeah. I don't think that there are many opportunities for our guys to have their own creative voices in any really tangible way.
Mm.
So much is done for our community. So much of the learning for our community is about, I'm going to teach you this.
Mm.
So I'm going to enable you, I'm going to show you this. And it's really rare that people can make choices for themselves, that they initiate what they're doing, that they can fully express themselves. And that independence is a really, really important part of whatever teaching's going on.
And I think not only that, but then putting them in a position of being the ones that teach others and help others, which I know you do a lot of with Jolt and with our programs. We always have jammers who are mentors to other jammers, usually because they've been there a while and they're more experienced. Yeah.
Do you find then that the confidence that the students are building through their dance classes are having ripple effects into other aspects of their lives?
Absolutely, yeah. I think as soon as you're acknowledged for who you are, as you are, it's not going to always just relate to dance. It's going to relate to a whole host of things. And I think the one that we see the most is jammers will feel too nervous to kind of share their news or engage in conversations at the start, but once they've done a bit of dancing and they've been for a few weeks, that's where we first see the confidence start to grow, the making connections with other people and, making friendships.
It's about holding your head up and being aware of the world. When you dance on stage, it's very rare that you dance alone. You're always dancing with other people. So if your head's up and you're looking and you're watching and you're seeing somebody else, you're more likely to show who you are and be much more present in the world.
Yeah, nicely said. And you're representing a lot of people, even though you might be doing a solo work, there's a collide of multidisciplinary artists that have come together to make that work. And plus it explodes on them, expands the memory as well, because these dancers have to be remembered. And once they're remembered, then that collides with your higher power, because I feel the stage brings on some sort of higher power as well.
Mm. One thing I will say about performance too is that every family member, every parent, every sibling, every granny, every auntie, every friend, we all want to see our family members, our children, our sisters, our brothers perform and be celebrated for who they are. And yeah, I just think that more and more of it should be happening, because that joy and that community, this is my child on the stage who is doing that, and people can see them for who they are.
And enjoy it.
It's a right,
everyone's
isn't
enjoying
it? Yeah, it's an absolute right for the community around that person to be able to celebrate who they are.
Mm.
Yeah, and I feel like as a performer, I have disciplines in place. A lot of them are my tauranga Māori. Like, I go into a space, especially when you go to a stage where there's been many performers before you perform there, so there's already an energy there.
Mm.
So I always pay respect to that. I pay respect to the ground. I pay respect to the air that I breathe, ko te hi, ko te ha with the audience as well, because they've taken out time in their lives to come and witness you for a moment, which is quite incredible. So I always make sure those things are taken care of, before I perform or before I'm in a space performing with others, and then it sort of balances me.
As well as the changes that you've seen to the dancers themselves, do you see the changes in the audience? You're talking about the family having that right and that enjoyment to witness it, but do you see tangible changes?
Definitely, and I think, to begin with, one of the things that annoyed me the most when I first started out was that, we would get comments like, isn't it nice that they're doing that? Or isn't that lovely? And, as we've gone on, audiences' expectations have changed. And it's not just enough to put people on stage and get them to move about to music. It's about performance in its true sense, which is about challenge, about expectation, about creating something that has artistic integrity in its own right. And our audiences more and more have that expectation, and it's framing that within a really professional environment. So in terms of the lighting, in terms of the staging, mm-hmm. in terms of all of that, you know, when we go into our big biennial show, you know, those kids have got over 100 dancers backstage, and every one of them is sitting focused wow. and ready. And that's from our little five-year-olds right the way through, and they know that expectation when they go onto the stage. So the audiences, I think, within Christchurch are becoming more and more open to what is possible and starting to, yeah, raise those expectations.
Wow. And I think us as teachers and as supporters of dance, I think we should look at every moment as an opportunity to educate or bring awareness. So, you know, those people are saying, isn't it nice to bring them out? It's just finding a feedback that sort of opens their minds a bit, because I think they just bring that kōrero or that talk from their lived experience, because they've never come across that before.
Mm.
And when people go like that, wow, that's good, it's great what you're doing for disability. And I know I acknowledge that. And then I take it back to the dance and what that involved, you know, and how many people were involved. And I always acknowledge the choreographers and the directors of the dance, because, oh my gosh, they're incredible. I can imagine, John Wayne, quite amazing. I really honour the work you do.
Because I think our community has been really undervalued and underestimated. And so for our parents too, we've had lots of our parents who have gone, I didn't realise that they could do that. Mm. And often I have no idea what is possible, but I just know that I have to let go of any idea that it's not possible.
Mm. And I think our parents are often hearing what the young person can't do, and they're faced with that constantly, all of the barriers. So being able to open that up and actually show them all of the things that they can do and have that be the focus is pretty awesome.
Mm. Yeah, my mum just had the opportunity to witness me dance from all the years. She's never seen me dance. She just had the opportunity in June this year. I brought my show back down here.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like, because it was always... You're still doing that ballet, or, you know, because of her educated stance on dance.
Mm.
But now she's seen it. It's a whole, you know, we the way we steer each other changes when I talk about dance and that. So, yeah, it is about relationship building outside of dance, you know. Over time, too, I notice, like, the carers or supporters that come in and support the dancers, I always give a clear direction to them when they're in the space, because you've got to choreograph them as well. Otherwise, they're going to go in and it's going to move their arms and for them. But I always include them in the class and give them clear direction what not to do or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, it takes away the hindrance of them forcing them to do what able-bodied people do rather than utilise, even if they can only move their eyes, you know, the dance in itself.
Well, we might have our final song then, which is the song you chose, Lynn, Keep Your Head, David Odawa. I hadn't heard of this one.
No, it's one we discovered. So this is from a performance work that we created last year, and we did this year in high schools, called I Am Sam. And it's so pertinent to the conversation we've just had, because I Am Sam is based on one of our dancers, Sam, and it really explores what happens when you have a child with a disability and that culture of fear and pessimism that is within that. And so what I love in this piece is that the words say, if you can place your hands on me, then we'll love for a long time. If you can place your hands on me, then we'll dance. And I think the reality is that if we're going to have any change in this world, it's when we have really beautiful and meaningful connections between people, and dance is the way to do it.
Keep your head, everyone still. You can make me fall apart, but I won't blink, and you won't speak, and we won't blow away. Thank you.
On Speak Up Core Editor. Just to finish up, we're going to think about the ways that dance enables access, and we have been touching on this throughout, but I'd particularly be interested in the linkages that you guys see between dance and access, and not just in dancing itself, but in, for example, attending a dance piece, participating in an audience, choreographing, teaching, all these things we've been talking about. How do they then help people in their daily lives?
Like what you said was that, you know, dancers as audience, dancers as performers, as choreographers, and all aspects is really, really important. As teachers, I think it's about visibility, I suppose, isn't it? So you mentioned that before, Jo, about you go and do lots of performances in lots of different venues because you want your community to be really, really visible.
Absolutely. Yeah, we want to showcase our jammers in the best light and in their joyful way, and to, I guess, make them and their dancing and their right to dance and to sing and to play instruments completely normal. It's not, it shouldn't be an abnormal thing. Everyone should be able to access the music, and so showing people that through different performances, yeah, is a big thing of what we do.
We've been talking about your three companies and your three experiences. And these companies are doing fantastic things for a small number of people, relatively, I suppose. What more do you think Aotearoa New Zealand should or needs to be doing?
An inclusive dance program in primary schools. I know that Touch Compass is developing, I think it's for high schools, isn't it, Rodney? And I know that one of your performances is used in the high school curriculum, which is fantastic. But I would love to see an inclusive dance program in all primary schools, and more education. I'd like to see it in the teachers' colleges, where the teachers who are coming out know how to use the arts and dance as a way of including all the diverse needs of their students.
And so, reaching students too, I think.
Yeah, and so for me it's education, it's sharing the ideas, getting them out.
And it always
more.
Comes back to valuing the arts and seeing the value in them, which is always been a struggle.
And as an artist, I just want to do quality work that's respected and collaborate with many dancers or production companies that want to support that, and I feel like there's a lot of respect going on even before you start moving when you get on stage. With dancers of difference, I feel that they bring their own uniqueness to the space, and therefore no one else can tell their story, because their movement is their own. And they own that, and to put that discipline into someone else, you could probably where that movement come from, but you could never do it the same as them. I've been going into prisons lately with Meri Meri. So because it's storytelling too, because I believe a lot of our participants who bring can bring their lived experience in our dance classes, and they can, I'm moving into the space where I'm using their lived experience to bring stories through that comes from a space where they feel inside. And I feel like taking Meri Meri into the prisons, and that these men can relate without being too direct. They can pick and take things from it, because I obviously go through this the stuff I went, I was in prison over there, and it was quite ruthless over there, so they can relate to that, and I bring that through dance, through movement, and song, and music. Yeah, so there's all these other layers going on, and we've got really great response from it. And I've just been into schools doing presentations / workshops around disability awareness, but channeling it through the medium of dance. So the children, yeah, because they can relate to music, they can relate to dance, but when you bring that disability awareness factor, it sort of opens their consciousness, you know, and maybe they become more creative in a different way, or like we go back to that relationship ripple effect, then they go back out into society and see loved ones or people out in the community with disabilities, their whole perspective shifts, their whole respect shifts.
I think if you're talking about accessibility, what it comes down to is that you want to be seen. You want to be seen in this world for who you are. And if we can allow space for that to happen, then we open up accessibility in so many different ways.
Yeah, and it's being respected as a person with a disability that can contribute to society, you know, and in an equitable way, in a place of equity. And I feel like because obviously we have a disability, straight away, our potential or our energy to work is sort of cut in half or 60%, let's say. And then so therefore we've got to go on these special benefits. So our whole potential to earn money. So we're living in this bracket of and then we've got all this expense of supports we need in place, like care support. And that's why I acknowledge these parents, you know, they fight hard for their tamariki. Yeah, and then we go back to that fact of when they see a different light lit up in their children's eyes after they've seen them dance or perform. It's quite beautiful. It's our tāhua.
Definitely.
Well, we might finish up there, but just before we do, if people are interested in getting involved in your companies, what might they do? How might they contact you guys?
We've got a website, jolpdance.co.nz, so you can just flick us an email.
We have a website, stargem.org. You can like us on Facebook to see what we're doing around the country. And if you are interested in getting in touch with me, it's christchurch@stargem.org.
Yeah, jump on Google, type in Touch Compass Dance Trust or Rodney Bell, and lots of stuff will come up, and get in touch with them, yeah, and even come and witness some of what they do if you want to feel for what they do.
Attend a performance would be my final concluding point. I'd like to say kia ora, koutou. Thank you very, very much for sharing what has been a really powerful kōrero.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane,
thank you for
man.
Having us.
Sally, thank you so much.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Ai, ake wā.